If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and I hope that everyone had an amazing last long weekend of the summer and that reality isn't hitting you too hard today if you're back to work or back to school or what have you. But to be honest, in my mind, September is still basically summer. I mean, there are still so many effing weddings. The weather is arguably actually more ideal this month than it is during the summer months. And people still seem to be gone like every weekend. So if you're feeling depressed that summer has ended, just reframe it in that way and hopefully that'll help. Anyway, today's episode is a conversation with podcast host and YouTube icon, The Brooke Ashley, who hosts The Brooke Ashley Podcast, where she recaps Real Housewives and other Bravo shows. I love Brooke so much, and she always just makes me laugh with her no holds barred opinions and hilarious delivery. So I was pumped to finally get her on the show for today's episode. We recorded this on Thursday ahead of the holiday weekend because scheduling podcasts around long weekends can be a fucking nightmare. So we talked all about Alexis Bellino's engagement news, which had just broken, the latest OC happenings, our thoughts on The Real Housewives of Dubai's latest episode that found Lisa Milan in the hot seat, why that cast needs to stop getting so in the muck and in the weeds on social media, the upcoming seasons of Roni, Salt Lake, Atlanta, Potomac, and much more. Keep listening for my chat with Brooke Ashley about all things Real Housewives. Subscribe to her show wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. And friendly reminder that we are also on YouTube. So go subscribe to our channel to watch full-length episodes of the podcast and also follow us on Instagram and TikTok for clips and more. Thanks for listening and we'll see you Friday. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with the Brooke Ashley, host of the Brooke Ashley YouTube series, which is now also available as a podcast, which is so exciting. Brooke is one of the funniest voices in this space, and I have so much respect for just how well she's able to cut through the BS and just really keep it 100 and share what she's really, really thinking. Brooke and I always run into each other at random Bravo adjacent events, I would say, and we always make each other laugh. So it's very long overdue to have her on the show. Brooke, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm well, Gibson. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here. You're one of my faves, so I'm very excited.
I'm honored to be one of your faves, honestly. So, and last time we saw each other, we were at the Andy Cohen wax figure unveiling at Madame Tussauds. That was a fun day, I would say.
It was such a fun day. So I ended up hanging out with Donald and Abby and Andrea Lopez, who does Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So we all hung out and we ended up just going over the whole museum. And it's, yeah, we did the whole thing. Yeah, it was so much fun.
Okay. Madame Tussauds After Dark. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I kind of had to get out of there, but a little freaky there, but you know, the Andy statue was good. So,
oh, he did a phenomenal job. I think he is one of the best wax figures, in my opinion.
Okay. So, Brooke, let's just jump into it. So right now we have, I feel like Orange County is sort of the supreme housewives right now. First of all, we got some big news. We're recording this on Thursday morning. It's going to come out on Tuesday, but we got some big news later last night, which is that Fun Lexi, Alexis Bellino, and John Jansen are engaged after 9 months together. They are on cloud nine. What was your initial reaction to that news?
I said, two clowns announcing this engagement. This is embarrassing. Alexis, you better hide your purse, because the way he's trying to fleece Shannon, he's going to fleece you. You're going to remain penniless. I don't understand whatever alimony spousal support she's getting from Jim, her ex-husband. I don't know why she wants to give that up for a man who we don't know has a job. Do we know what John Jansen does for a living?
We don't. We really don't. And I think what he does for a living is gets money out of Shannon, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so he gave up the relationship, but he didn't want to give up the coin. So, okay, so that was your initial reaction. It's this weird thing where it's like, I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked. You know what I mean? Of course these two are getting engaged after less than a year when the show's still on, but they haven't filmed the reunion yet. Like, of course, you know?
Oh, it's very strategic. I think that this is going to be her entry back on the show as a full-time housewife.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I hope not. I think that Alexis is bringing nothing. And it was funny because she did an interview with Entertainment Tonight. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was yesterday. And she's like, oh, Shannon is grasping at straws. She has no storyline. And I'm thinking, are you serious? Shannon has multiple storylines. You're using her as a storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
Crucial.
Shannon is the storyline this year.
Yes.
She's the topic of conversation. And the whole issue with Alexis is that, like, actually, I'm not even going to blame it on being a friend of, because I think that she can't talk about anything else. But it's like, she literally only talks about John Jansen and Shannon. That's all she talks about. And let's say she was made full time next year. One, this man won't even show his face on the show. So, you know, if she's full time, he would have to. And I don't even know if I want that. You know, I don't know if I want to see him on the show. I don't think he deserves that.
But then again, though, he's so desperate. He actually might want to be back on camera to harass and piss off Shannon. And then also, he might try to negotiate
right,
a little salary for himself. Like, okay, I will only appear on camera if I'm going to get paid something. And of course, he's going to lobby for that because he has no job. He's unemployed.
And in some ways, that's just another way of him like mooching off of Shannon, just like another way. You know what I mean? Because he's the only reason why he's even relevant in this universe is because of her. So, I mean, this reunion's about to be crazy, Brooke.
I know. I can't wait. But I'm like, I'm excited. But at the same time, I want to send Shannon a bunch of reads. Like, Shannon, you better read them for filth. You better go in, say this, say that. I don't want her to be crying. I don't want her to get flustered. I need her to be on her A game.
And I think she will be. Like, I just feel like it's crazy how through all of this, and I think it's because of all the support she's probably felt from people, is like, she seems really confident right now. And so I hope that she can like not let this latest beyond like crazy update to like kind of wreck that confidence. You know, she's on such a trajectory right now that I hope that she can continue that.
I think so. I think that she is. Also, she's going to be on that dating show with
Giselle, right,
Luann and Ashley Barbie. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that? I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued cautiously.
I'm intrigued too. I will be watching because I want to see the train wreck.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Just overall with Alexis, Brooke, like, do you feel like, I think a lot of people are kind of having fun hating her. You know, it's kind of like she's not doing herself any favors. But I mean, my opinion is that, like, I'm glad she's there. And I think that, like, having the factor of, like, it's not just Shannon's DUI, but there's also this whole other sort of like love. Now, I don't even want to call it a love triangle, but like this love connection happening. I'm glad she's there at least for this season, even if she's like grinding my gears. Are you glad she's there for the drama?
I mean, I guess from a drama standpoint, yes, but I can't stand Alexis. I always thought that she was obnoxious. I didn't like her when she was first on the show. I hated the way she treated Peggy when Peggy had admitted that her and Jim used to date. It's like, why are you getting mad at her? She didn't do anything wrong. And you guys are married. She's married to somebody else. So why do you care? Like, I've never liked Alexis's vibe. I've just always thought that she was phony, pretentious. I didn't like the way she didn't like Heather, because Heather Dubrow is my girl.
Oh, she's so the queen.
Like, yeah. I'm like, if you come after Heather, we're going to have an issue. So I've just never cared for Alexis. So I'm sad that she's on this show.
And the other thing is like, Tamra, I mean, Heather kind of, but Tamra to a greater extent is like riding really hard for Alexis. And obviously that adds to this feeling that Shannon's being kicked while she's down. You know, she's gone through all this crazy stuff, and they bring the ex via this woman returning to the show back onto the show. She just had the DUI. Tamra has turned on her. How do you feel about Tamra and how she's carrying herself with the Shannon of it all?
So, if you know, you watch my recaps, you know that I can't stand Tamra either. I think that what she's doing is despicable. I feel that she's also someone who needs to write Shannon a check, because Shannon is her storyline too. Because what else does Tamra have to talk about? And I feel that for somebody who has such a, and this is an understatement, I'm putting this nicely, but for somebody who has a very strained relationship with her kids, I don't know why she has the audacity to fix her mouth and talk about other people and their issues when that's an easy read right there. Anytime that's brought up, she's crying. Remember how Kelly Dodd said that when they were on that Iceland trip? No, and she was sobbing. So I just feel like, if you have all these issues in your life, why are you trying to blast Shannon? You have no right, because if Shannon is petty, if she went to the gutter like you do, you'd be on the floor crying.
But it's interesting because they don't go there with Tamra. They don't really bring up the kids anymore, right? Or that whole situation. They don't.
No, they don't. They don't bring up anything. They let her skate by and wreak all this havoc on the group. And I don't understand it. Yeah. I really want somebody to get in there with Tamra and be like, no, I'm not putting up with this. How dare you? Like, no, I just don't understand why they're all so afraid of Tamra. We saw it last season, right? Heather, they tried to gang up on Heather, and Heather forgave her like that. I'm like, Heather, what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's like, I think they are. It's funny because I think they're all kind of scared to be on her bad side, but like she's shown that like she'll kind of stop at nothing to like, and she'll do it for the show. So I'm grateful in that capacity for it. But like, it's like, if she's going to go there anyway, like why not kind of meet her where she is, you know? And like, I don't know. And I feel like the only person who's really willing to do it actually is Vicky. And that Vicky will hit there and not be because Shannon just gets too emotional in those moments, you know. And I think Vicky, that's kind of why I like having Vicky around, in even if it's in a little capacity, because like, I mean, we see with Teddy, she, like when Teddy comes for this traitors event they're gonna have, like she says all the housewives and Vicky, and she's like, what a bitch, you know. Yeah. Just like she just says it. Thoughts on Vicky? Give me your thoughts on Vicky.
Vicky, I've always had sort of like a love-hate relationship with her.
Yeah.
She's great TV, but she can be very hypocritical. I don't like how she can be so mean. But when she's fun, she's amazing. But when she's just like being really rude, it's really unbearable to watch. But I'm liking her in this friend of capacity. I liked how she stuck up for Shannon at Gina's dinner. So yes. I love that. But I feel like she lost a few points when she said, we don't treat women like this. And it's like, okay, Vicky, don't do that. Because
yeah, that's not rewrite history. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't do that. Like, let's go back to when you treated Gretchen, when Gretchen came on. That whole naked waisted thing that you did, that was disgusting. So let's not get on our high horse now, 16 years later, and act like you've never done that, because you have set other women up. You have treated other women poorly. So let's not.
And I also think that that's actually something that differentiates Vicky and Shannon in terms of like maybe a reason why Shannon's been able to like stay on the show and Vicky hasn't necessarily, because I think that Shannon, say what you will, that's sort of her ups and downs over the years, but she's actually, I think she's pretty much always given the new additions to the show like a chance and not like dismissed them. Vicky's sort of one of those OGs who sort of dismisses a newbie like right off the bat. And like, that doesn't do you any favors as a vet. Like, you have to be open to the new people and kind of create that environment. I think that Shannon, she kind of still does that, you know?
No, that's a good point, because I feel like the only newbie that Vicky was open to was Kelly.
Right, Right. Exactly. Right? And it's like there's a territorialness with her, yes. But I don't know if Shannon necessarily has that, even though she's kind of entitled to some of that, I think, by this point. But like, I'm glad she doesn't feel that way. Let's talk about Gina and Emily. They're having this like little wrinkle of a thing in their friendship where Gina basically feels like Emily is sort of taking some of the mean girl aspects from her friendship with Tamara and sort of rubbing off on her. And it's kind of it had implications on their friendship. What's your read on that whole situation?
So Emily and Gina, I have the best time roasting them in every single recap.
Okay.
Out of everybody, I mean, those two work my last good nerve, okay?
Tell me why, Brooke. Tell me why.
So I think that Emily and Gina should have went seasons ago. I don't think that they are interesting. I don't think that they're housewives material. And the way that they are acting this season is horrible, especially Emily. The way she's constantly taking digs at Jen with the financial situation. I'm like, what's your issue with Jen? I feel like with Emily, she's a very insecure woman. And when she feels threatened by somebody else, she lashes out. Because I'm not understanding why she's acting like Jen owes her the rent. Why do you care so much? This whole argument between her and Gina about, is she taking after Tamara with the mean girl ways? I do agree with Gina on that. Gina, don't ever say that I've never said anything nice about you, because I am agreeing with you right here. So
okay, there we go. For the record. Yeah.
Yeah, for the record. But I think that Emily wants to rebrand herself as this like bitchy, mean girl. Like, I'm just so tough. And it's like, you're not. And this like this whole facade, it's not you. It's weird. And also, let's not forget, when you first came on the show, Tamara called you Shrek. And you didn't curse her out. You didn't say anything back to her. You started crying.
Yeah.
So how tough are you when you couldn't even defend yourself when somebody came for your looks? Right?
I mean, she's got a point. And I mean, it's like, because I was noticing Emily being a little bit more like cutting and yes, a little more savage in her confessionals in particular, like this season, even before Gina was saying this about her. And like, I was picking up on that. It's a different energy. It's like it's a little more mean, you know? It is.
And it's not her.
No.
And you can always tell when someone's trying way too hard, and she's just such a try hard. So it's like what you're trying to do, it's not giving what you think it's giving, Emily. So just be yourself. But I don't think that Emily knows who she is. So that's why we always get these new personas every season.
Mm. I also feel like with her and Gina, like since they've been on the show, like they have been the butt of the joke in some ways. And like there's a lot of people who think they shouldn't be on the show, and they're not, like you just said, not housewives material. But I kind of feel like this season I'm noticing, I think they feel like they're more like core to the show and like maybe more elevated in terms of their status in the cast, because they have been around for six seasons at this point, which is a long time to be a housewife. Like, that's longer than a lot of like legends runs, you know? And I don't know, I'm noticing that sort of impacting how they're acting on the show. And I think with Gina, like, it works a little bit better, even though like she's being messy, but like she's involved in a lot of the drama this season, and she has pretty good personal storyline happening, even though I don't really know like exactly why she's acting the way she's acting with the Travis stuff. Like, she has a lot going on, I would say, but she's kind of getting caught in a lot of it as well.
She is. Back to your point about they've been on for six seasons, so they're feeling themselves. They're the type where they're just barely getting by. Like, Bravo is giving them like a pity stay. Like, okay, you can stay on. We'll pay you like the lowest amount, but you can stay on if you want to. Like, I don't really, like, if I were them, I wouldn't be feeling myself to still be on six seasons when it's like, this is a pity invite.
Brooke, listen. When it comes to the Gina and Jennifer stuff, with the rent and the all that, where did you land on that? Because my feelings about Gina are not as strong as yours, like in terms of how I feel, but I love Jennifer. Like, I think that she is such a good addition to the show, and she like has, cause she could have such longevity as a housewife, cause she just has, there's something in her DNA that like makes her good at it. Where did you land on all of that? Cause I feel like that drama is a little bit like kind of petering out.
I was on Jen's side 100%. I thought that stunt that Gina pulled at that coffee shop was like
wild.
Are you insane? That was so wild. Who does that? Also, Gina, like I said before, you are two Zara blouses away from being back to the poorhouse, okay? So the audacity for you to try to say, oh, you know, pay your rent, pay your bills, be a grown woman. Just a few seasons ago, you've been broke since you've been on this show. The majority of time of Gina's time on this show, she was the broke one. So now that she has two nickels to rub together this season, now she's gotten this, you know, overinflated ego. And I'm not trying to be mean, but let's call a spade, right? From the time Gina got on this show, she was broke. So it was just really mind-boggling to see her wag her finger and look down on somebody else when she's been there. She was just there last year.
Well, I think that's part of it, Brooke. I think that part of it is like she's eager to not be that person. And so now she sees this opportunity to like sort of place herself sort of above Jennifer. You know what I mean? Like, I do think that like that was sort of even subconsciously part of it. Like, I don't want to be the Miss Casita anymore. Like, I, you know, and like, and there was there, I mean, and there are real things that point to Jen having obviously like big financial problems. And like, that was an opportunity for Gina to, you know, swoop in and not be that person anymore. But
I still feel that Gina could have handled that so much better.
Totally agree. You know?
And it's like,
and also like, you're a realtor. Like, why are you telling your best friend her information? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It's crossing a line.
That's a breach of potentiality.
Totally.
And Gina's making herself look bad. Who's going to want to work with her ever again? I just feel like, why would you put your business and your brand in jeopardy like this? Because the way you're going about this for a moment on TV that's flopped, mind you, it's embarrassing for you. This doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was 100% on Jen's side. And I don't like that argument about, well, why do you still look good if you're broke? First of all, she's on TV. This is her job. She's getting a paycheck from Bravo, and she has to show up in glam. We all know that she'd be clowned if she was not in glam.
Exactly.
So why this conversation? Also, what people fail to realize is when you have money, you buy the stuff, you buy the clothes, you buy the bags, the shoes. So that way, if you do have a financial blip where you're broke, you still look like you have something. Your clothes and your shoes and your bags don't automatically turn into tatters and rags because you've now gone broke. Like,
yes, no, totally. Yeah, exactly. And she also, I think she said on Watch Up and Live, she was like, also, it's not always about like me paying them for their services. Sometimes it's they're giving you those services so that you post them on Instagram, so that you promote them on the stuff. So like, it's not, she's not spending all her money on it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that she's worked out some deals, and that's savvy of her, I think.
It's very savvy, it's very savvy. I think that Gina's upset that she could never look as good, whether she has $10 in her pocket or she doesn't. And $10 is a stretch for me.
Messy moods over here. Okay. the other thing that's like kind of lingering on the show, which is like kind of annoying me, honestly, at this point, is the Katie and Heather paparazzi thing, which is already a storyline that like we didn't all really care about all that much when it was brought up last season when Katie wasn't even here. And now it's being brought up. They flash that screenshot of her like receipt texts with the paparazzi head honcho like all the time. What do you make of that? And like, do you, because I feel like it's kind of hindering Katie's time on the show, and it's like kind of, it's an issue of her own making, but do you want to see her get another shot at this after we get through this muck?
I think that Katie does have potential, and like,
me too.
Yeah, I think that she has potential. So I would say give her one more chance, despite me having a major side eye for her even bringing this up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be fair. I'm not going to be so harsh. I would like to see Katie come back. Because there's something there. There's something.
Yeah, she has it in her, and she's like an interesting family situation happening. Yes. And like, she seems pretty smart. I'm just like, I feel like she's getting bogged down with this Heather thing, and it's like exhausting to me.
It is. She shouldn't have done that. And you weren't, why are you bringing up stale tea that you weren't even a part of? You weren't on the show last season. So bringing anything up from last season is just dumb on your part.
And also, like, it's for some reason Heather, maybe just because she like sticks up above the rest, like she's just the obvious target. And like,
yes,
everybody who comes in, just like, I mean, Noella did it, Tamara, yes, did it last season, Katie's doing it this season. It's like, at some point, people just have to realize it's not going to happen. You know, it's just like, if you're going to take a shot at this bee, you better not miss, as a formerly wise woman once said. So it's like, come on.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that Heather is the one they want to take down, and it just doesn't work out for you. And you look dumb in the end, because Heather's going to win.
She stays winning. You know, she stays buying mansions and winning. Exactly. Brooke, let's jump over to Dubai. So the latest episode put Lisa like in the hot seat over this like brand new issue that didn't exist before this past episode. It was all about, she threw this PR event for Mina Rowe at a spa. And it was basically like Mina Rowe taking over this spa that exists in Dubai. Branding was everywhere. Like, it was definitely over the top, but like, that's kind of how a PR event is. Like, every single PR event that I've been to, even if it's at a place that like I know, like, there's signage everywhere. Sometimes they cover up the establishment sign. Like, that's just kind of how it is. It's a takeover. But right off the bat, people are taking issue with it. Brooks is like, why didn't you have this event at my spa? Like, this is a competitor. I refuse to take part in any of the treatments. I just don't get the criticism. And also, like, I'm pretty sure that Brooks, if I remember correctly, did not invite Lisa to her opening of the glass house. So it's like, why is there an obligation for her to have her event at your place if you're not going to invite her to the opening in the first place?
I agree. We're on the same page. Okay. I think that Brooks is reaching. I think that Brooks just wants a moment. I don't think that Brooks is happy for other people. And we see that throughout her time on this show. I think that she's a very envious individual. Because the fact that every time you go to somebody's launch party or their event, there's always some shade, there's always some snide remark, there's always something that you're trying to find fault with. That's not what happy people do. If you're happy for somebody, you congratulate them, you're happy for their success. I think that Brooks is somebody who wants to be the only one who's successful.
Yeah, and it's almost like it comes out of I don't want to say insecure place, but like a place of like, am I not doing as well as everybody else kind of thing, you know? Like she always has mentioned, like the multi-million-dollar business. And it's like, okay, I don't know.
If you have to say it, is it really so? It's like when people tell you how rich they are or how, you know, how great they look. If when you really are that, you don't have to say it. We all know it. We can all see it.
As Demerinda Medley once said, money talks, wealth whispers.
So. Yes, it does. It does. You don't have anything to prove because you're it.
I'm kind of nervous, Brooke, about what's going to happen in this finale between Chanel and Lisa. The issue that came up on the trip to Bali, like they smoothed it over, but it kind of felt like a band-aid, you know, it kind of felt like there's still obviously a crack there. And I was kind of upset that we didn't see that hotel room fight. I don't know why, like, because answer this for me, like, you know, they left this dinner where they're all mic'd, they're on camera. They go to a hotel room and have a big fight. You'd presume they're still mic'd because 20 minutes later, we get Lisa post-confrontation, crying, upset, calling the husbands. I at least would have liked like a hot mic audio moment from that situation. I'm curious why we didn't get it.
Do you feel like it was really intense or something? But that doesn't make that.
Maybe,
I don't know.
But like, I mean, like we got Lisa Barlow's hot mic moment about Meredith sleeping with half of New York. You know, it's like.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I was kind of upset that we didn't see that because I feel like that's where the crack happened. It's kind of her word versus her word on what happened in that conversation. Do you have any read over what happens between them or like, what are you expecting and where do you fall on sort of the divide here?
I think that in the finale, I think that they're going to get into a fight over this whole thing about her Mina Rowe event. Because when Ayan said in the confessional, I agree with Lisa, but I don't like the way she's carrying on right now. I think that maybe Ayana's going to say something like, oh, I didn't like how you conducted yourself at that dinner. I think that's what it's going to be. And then it's going to spiral into something else.
Mm.
If I had to guess.
Okay. And then when you think about Chanel versus Lisa, do you have a side or like, to me, like I kind of find myself a little bit on both.
Same. I'm on both sides, but I do feel like Ayan needs to take the blame, more of the blame, because she should not have shared that voice note with Danbury. Because think about it, like, let's be real. If you have, everybody has that one person in their lives, it could be your mom, your sibling, whatever, somebody who's super close to you that you trust, and you know that's the person that you gossip with, you vent to about.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to say anything.
Safe space.
It's safe space. We all do it. We're like, oh my gosh, like, girl, child, like, here, let me send you this, like, don't, and you know they're not gonna say anything. We've all done it. So I can't really fault Lisa about, okay, she shouldn't have sent it to Ayan because that's her sister, that's her girl, that's her safe space. So I get it, we've all done that. I feel like Aya needs to really take the L because she should not have shared that with Stanberry and Talene. And it also felt like Ayan did that to get closer with Stanberry because right. I've said it since season one that Ayan's dislike of Stanberry really stemmed from her feeling like Stanberry did not like her. It was like a validation thing. She wanted Stanberry's friendship.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah. Because Caroline Stanberry, I think they all felt this in season one. She was on a show before. She was really popular already. She had been on Bravo years ago. And I think they all kind of wanted to like put her in her place last season. And I think that this season they're realizing that like she's just kind of like an iconic person and like just let her be her. You know what I mean? Like just because last season she wasn't really herself because of that, I think. And then now she's coming in this season. She's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be myself. Because she also, one thing that's good about her is that she's down to just like kind of, she'll take the L, as you said, and just be like, okay, let's move on. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, let's move on. You know, like she doesn't care. Yeah. You know, she knows what it takes to move on. And I feel like I'm getting this sense from this whole situation and like at the reunion, like everything playing out online, which is another issue for this show, that like they're kind of like dogs of the bone. They're not letting it go. You know what I mean? Like it's, we gotta resolve conflict. We do.
I know. I agree. I think that, like you said, that's one of her strong qualities. Stanberry doesn't mind moving on because even she said like, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything at the dinner. Like that put you in a bad place. It was never my intention. She was even so when her and Lisa had to sit down, I think in the last episode,
right?
She was just like, look, that wasn't my intention when I said that whole thing. You know, I would never want that connotation of you in an escort. Like, I'm sorry. Let's move on. I take full responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like that's one thing about her. She gives a genuine apology.
Totally.
Other people give you like these weak apologies. It's like there's a but and an if. Well, if I did that and if you felt that way, then I'm sorry. But no, she said, I take full accountability. I'm sorry. Let's move on. I like you. I want to be friends.
Or they say it's all good, but then like they're still complaining about it in the next scene with somebody else. And it's like, no, like that's not how this works. We gotta move on. And I circling back to what you said about the Chanel and Lisa thing, I kind of feel like Chanel, she's saying that she's really offended by Lisa saying that she'll never trust her again. But it's like, I think that she's kind of saying she's upset about that because she knows that she fucked up and she shouldn't have shared it, you know? And it's like she's kind of compensating for that, which I understand, but I'm also just like, as you said, just like admit that you shouldn't have shared it and like call it a day, you know, like,
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, I'm nervous about that. I'm just nervous about what the family and reunion are going to be with them.
I know, I'm nervous too. And then I don't know. Did you see there's like an article going around about there's another factor to why they're not why they fell out? Something about, you know, Ayan is like, she's like knows Rihanna.
Right. Oh, right. I saw this.
You saw that, right?
Yeah. So like, what was it? Lisa asked Chanel to DM Rihanna to post about Mina Rowe or send her Mina Rowe stuff. And then Chanel did it. And Chanel had like asked her already to post about Ion Beauty or something like that. And so then she deleted the message she had sent her on Lisa's behalf. And Lisa got mad. Is that the crux of it?
It was the crux of it because Lisa thought that Ayan was trying to block her or gatekeep.
Right.
And Jan's argument was like, I'm not trying to gatekeep. It's just that Rihanna is a megastar. She's A-list. People ask her for stuff all the time. I'm not trying to look like a user. I already asked her for a favor for my brand, so I don't want to look like I'm bothering her, asking her for... And I that's understandable.
If that's a real issue that happened between them, I would be on Chanel's side of that situation. Like, that's a big ask of somebody.
That is a huge ask. To ask for your... And now you're asking for a friend. And it's like, I love you, girl, but you're going to have to do this yourself.
Right.
Because just because you know somebody, people don't want to feel used. So it's like you have to tread lightly when you ask favors from somebody.
Oh, yes. From Rihanna. And it's like, and it's like that. That's kind of like a thing that floats around the Bravoverse all the time. It's like, oh, my God, Rihanna followed this person. She loves this person. She DM'd this person. And I'm not going to say who this is, but like I was at a Bravo event in probably the past like year or two. And somebody who's on a Bravo show was like, oh, my God, like Rihanna DM'd me. And I literally got so nervous, I didn't respond. Because it's like, it's Rihanna. It's like, what do you... So it's like, to even like be so brazen to like ask two favors in a row from her. Like that's... I understand the kind of not wanting to do that. I do. I totally get that.
Especially if Rihanna only said to you like, hey, I love you on the show. And then you're jumping out the window and asking her a favor for yourself. And now it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, can you?
Right.
Yeah. So I hope that's addressed at the reunion.
Me too. Me too. And I think that came out before the reunion, I want to say. Yes. So yeah, I hope they bring it up. So there's this great Twitter account, Yolanda Pfister. I'm sure you've seen tweets from them. They posted a pretty savage tweet, and it kind of gets at an issue with Dubai, I think, overall. He said, the Real Housewives of Dubai are arguing like cats and dogs on Twitter just to get 50 likes and 300,000 viewers.
Oh, oh.
But it gets into a thing. So the ratings aren't great for Dubai, even though I think this season has been honestly a pretty fun season to watch. It's not like the best season ever, but it's a big improvement over their first go around, I would say.
Yes.
But like something's not clicking for the show, and there's various reasons for that. But the issue that I get into is like they're all on Twitter, like in the replies every single week over these like really specific receipts and screenshots of like WhatsApp messages. And it's just like it's in the muck, and it's kind of reminded me of Jersey. But like Jersey, it got to them in the muck, but they sort of earned that over the years. And the show has been on for so long. That group had been together for 7 or 8, however many years. But these women are in their second season. And like, I don't really care about who sent what WhatsApp message ahead of filming this scene. You know what I mean? Like it's too in the weeds.
It is. It's very trivial.
Yes.
And it's like it feels like they want to have a moment. And Brooks is like the number one culprit when it comes to having Twitter fingers. It's like, girl.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're so hypersensitive about what everybody's saying, and honestly, I don't know why she gets so hypersensitive, because you should be happy that anybody's talking about the show in the first place. Right?
Yeah. And I think that like, I think you're right. It's like trying to like create more momentum. But actually like by getting so specific and so like talking about things that aren't even happening on the show, it's like stuff that's happening behind the scenes. Like that's actually scaring people away from the show, I think, in some capacity, because it's like, how do you possibly keep up with all of this? You know, like I find myself literally going to some of their Twitter accounts, clicking on the replies tab, and that's how I look sometimes. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to be doing this. And I'm a very online person, you know? Like, it's a lot.
No, it is a lot. And it's about the dumbest stuff. It's like, oh, well, you texted me at, you know, last year at 5 a.m. screaming, right, about, you know, my Starbucks was too hot. And it's like, we don't care about this.
I know. I do hope that, like, and I know that, like, the ratings aren't great. And, like, I hope they get another season, just because I do think that like they do have momentum and they're improving. And like, I think Talene is actually a pretty good addition to the show. But I just think that like there's something that they have to inject into the show or change about it that to can help it to connect to people. And I don't know what it is. Like, what do you think?
I think that it's something about, I'm not going to name names. I'll let you guess. But okay. I feel like some of the personalities are just too phony. Like, reads are just too rehearsed. There's not this, it's like a very,
it's very studied. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very studied. It doesn't feel authentic. You can tell who's always reaching for some camera time, and it gets exhausting. I think if we got less of that and more of some real personalities, they could fare a lot better.
And yeah, it's just so frustrating, because I'm also just like, Caroline Stanberry is like such a star, and she's so like, she's made to be on television, on Bravo specifically. And it's like, I want her to remain on my television. And I like a lot of the women on the show too. I just like, like there's something
like,
yeah,
you can tell who's trying to be the next this one
X person.
Or
yeah. They're playing roles a little bit, and it's like,
yes,
we should drop some of the artifice. Yeah, totally. So, Brooke, before I let you go, like, I mean, we have a lot of exciting Housewives stuff coming up. You know, it's been like a little bit of like a uneven summer, I would say, because it's like,
yes,
it was like the darkness of Jersey over here and the sort of extreme pettiness of Dubai over here. And it was like, it was just kind of like whiplash, I think, sometimes. We have Salt Lake coming up first, which, how could you not be excited about that?
I can't wait.
What a trailer. It's going to give us back that feeling of like, okay, every single week we got to watch. We got to.
Yes.
Like, and that's, I'm missing that.
Well, no, OC has been holding down the fort.
That's true. Sorry. That's true. Sorry. That's OC erasure. We just talked about them for 20 minutes. Totally agree. But Salt Lake, it's like a different level to me right now.
Yes.
Like it's just What are you most excited about for Salt Lake?
I'm excited to see Mary fully engaged this time. I'm excited to see the fallout between Lisa and Whitney. I can't wait to imitate Lisa Barlow this season for season 5. I can't wait for that. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And then New York. Where are you on the New York reboot?
Ooh, why am I forgetting about New York? Like, I'm kind of embarrassed about that.
I just forgot about OC. So we all have our own.
Have our moments.
Yeah.
They're back October 1st, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I guess I have more excitement for SLC.
Yeah. It was hard because, like, they gave us the Roni trailer first, which I think actually was probably pretty smart because it got people more excited for that. But then, like, because the Salt Lake, it's not even just Shade. It's like the Salt Lake trailer is, like, so next level, and that show is next level that, like, you know, but I think Roni has it in them. I just think, again, it's sort of like with Dubai, there's something a little bit missing there, you know, in terms of my attachment to that show.
Yes.
But, like, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited. But, like, my level of excitement.
It's different level. Yeah.
It's different level. SLC is like the filet mignon, you know, the garlic mashed potatoes, the truffle fries, the Dom Perignon, you know.
What's Roni?
Yeah. And New York is like a delicious Kobe beef cheeseburger,
which I love a cheeseburger. I love a cheeseburger.
Love truffle fries and a nice margarita.
Okay, listen, that's my kind of meal, I would
it's
say.
Good,
but
it's a good meal.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next sort of round is going to be Atlanta, Potomac, and Beverly Hills. I don't know what order that's going to come in, but those are sort of the next three, I think, sort of on deck. I'm intrigued by Potomac because we've basically heard nothing about that season, I feel like, in any official capacity. But I'm the one that I want to succeed the most is Atlanta. Because, like, I wish the Kenya thing was so disappointing. And the Phaedra prospect is so exciting to me, at least. And but I have no idea how it's going to land. I really don't.
Atlanta, I feel like my excitement, like, you just popped the balloon when the whole Kenya stuff happened.
I know.
I feel deflated when it comes to Atlanta. I don't even want to think about it right now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
We don't have to talk about it, but I'm just so curious, like, how they're going to handle Kenya in the edit. You know what I mean? Because they were filming for a while with her, and I'm like, you'd have to assume that, like, Portia's first scene was, like, meeting up with Kenya, you know? And, like, they can't cut that out.
No, they can't. I think that, I don't quote me on this, I could have sworn I saw something that Drew revealed in an interview that we are going to hear mention and see the whole Kenya thing play out.
Well, they should do that, because it was actually, even though it's so disappointing, like, I hope it, I would wish it didn't happen. It's kind of a moment for the show to embrace and, like, kind of hype up in terms of, like, giving some anticipation for this season, you know? So
the ratings are going to be through the roof.
I think so too.
For that. And then.
And then you bring it with Phaedra after. Yeah.
It'll be dramatic. Like, when they flash on the screen, you know, after the incident, Kenya was, you know, parted
ways and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that for their sake, they need to keep all that.
Totally agree. Well, Brooke, this has been fun. Again, like I said at the top, you say how you feel, and I love that about you. I know I truly respect it so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Plug your show and your podcast and whatever else you want. Where can people find more of you?
Well, Gibson, first off, thank you so much for having me. This is an honor and a pleasure. I'm so grateful. I had the best time. I could have talked to you for another hour about all this stuff.
Yeah.
About all these housewives. But you all can find me on YouTube at the Brooke Ashley, on Instagram at the Brooke Ashley _. I'm also on Twitter running my mouth about everything under the sun.
You and I both.
Yes. And then my podcast, you can find me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at the Brooke Ashley. So once again, you can find me at the Brooke Ashley, and yeah, I'm a good time.
The Brooke Ashley. Yes. Thank you. The one and only. Brooke, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Yes. Thank you, Gibson. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.